Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining me today. Today's Tuesday. This is Bikers of America, Phil and Bill show on Blog Talk Radio. Unfortunately, Bill won't be around today, but got some people calling in. Frank Palangi is going to call in, talk about his new debut song. And for right now, I'm going to play this song right here. This goes out to all the red and white.
Johnny always wore black, and he wore black because he identified with the poor and the downtrodden.
Could have it all. My
I do, so I have a problem.
Hey, we're live right now. Hold on a second, okay?
You betcha.
All right, be right back.
Thanks, Phil. All from the heart.
I know. How are you, Judy?
I am good, Phil. How are you?
Long, rough weekend.
Oh, man. You did that to yourself, sounds like, to me.
No, not really. I had to go do something for work Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I got done, and I was on my way back up, and I heard a noise in the primary, so I took the bike to Bill's. They had the kid look at it. He jumped on and went for a ride and got clipped by a Beamer 2 blocks
no.
away.
No.
Yeah.
You going to be okay?
Well, they got him there in time, so they were able to save his foot, but he broke his legs.
Oh, Phil, I'm so sorry.
He's good. His dad, I talked to his dad and everything. They did the surgery. Everything was good. He was kind of worried in the beginning on what they told him, and then After the surgery, they were able to fix everything.
So they saved all of the foot?
Yes.
That's good.
As of yesterday, he could wiggle his toes.
And he's wiggling them?
Yeah.
Oh, well, praise God on that. That's good news, because, as you know, I'm meeting guys every week up at the VA, and one day they have their feet, and the next day they're missing a toe, and the next day they're missing two toes, and it happens pretty quickly, and then they lose their balance, and that's not a good scene if you don't got five toes on each foot.
So he has
family there to support him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a little network going. But, it just turned out kind of shitty. We got there, and actually I jumped in the car with Bill's nephew, and we went over there and tried to calm him down and stuff. He was more worried about the bike, and I don't worry about the bike. We're here for you, you know.
Right.
The fun didn't start till the cops showed up. They asked me for all my information since they found out it was my bike and wanted to know why he was riding it. So I told him, and then he asked me for all my information again, and I gave it to him. And he stuck my registration and my insurance in his pocket and then ran me to see if I had any wants or warrants.
Sure.
Then they were eyeballing my saddlebags, and one clown asked me what the hammer was for. And the guy eyeballing my saddlebags, I basically told him he wanted to look at them, and I said, there's no reason to look at them. We're not here for that. We're here for the kid on the ground over there.
Right.
And he's like, well, where, are you trying to hide something? I said, no, I'm telling you right now. I ain't letting you do nothing unless you get a warrant. Well, you moved stuff. Hey, I moved it out of the gas, dude. That's what the gas tank ruptured, so the gas was running all over one of my saddlebags. So I picked it up and I moved it. That just happened to be the one that they have all my paperwork and stuff in that they want to get a hold of.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did all that turn out? Did they have a conversation with you about your hammer?
I retired to 1-pounder and went to a 3-pounder.
That sounds like a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
How did they like
that
3-pounder?
Yeah, it got Kristen when the bike flipped over, but kind of. You know, they were all up in arms. He got hit by a Haji driving a Beamer. He was looking for a place to go get his oil changed. And he just turned right in front of Cody.
Damn it. So tell me he got ticketed. Tell me he's in trouble.
No, they gave Cody the ticket.
How does that work, Phil?
Well, they said he was passing on the rights.
Guess that's probably the easiest way to excuse it if you're not going to be honest, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They can make sense of it that way. That's very unfortunate. I'm sorry that happened. Is the Beamer driver aware that it was his fault?
No, they were still trying to figure it out, but they were more worried about me thumping them.
I would imagine. I can see where that fear may arrive. That would probably be good, healthy fear.
Yeah, they had a guy stay there until the tow truck came and took him away.
Sure, I can see that. Where were you?
Right around the corner from Bill's on 76 and Airport Road.
Right. Wow, well, we'll sure be hoping for it. Tell me your friend's name again, his foot that got hurt. What's his name?
Cody.
Well, we'll all be believing for Cody to get fully healed and well.
Yeah, he's just going to have a little process going through, but he'll be all right.
Yeah. That's good. It can always have been much worse.
Absolutely. That's basically what we were talking about when I got there and I seen how he was on the ground.
Man. And he was on your bike.
We'll find out tomorrow. Tomorrow or Thursday, the guy's going to look at it.
Right.
I basically already told him I want it fixed.
Right. Well, do we get to see you this weekend?
Yeah, I'm already riding another bike.
You're riding another bike now already. So we're going to have you, you're going to come down for us on Saturday to the help ride?
Yes, I am, and Bill's coming with me, and we're bringing some goodies to give up. And I also have another, I have a nice picture that I was going to talk to you about if you want to raffle it off. I have the ticket picture, and I won't tell you what it is. I'll just let you look at it when I get there. The
well,
only thing,
that, I'm just really thrilled that you're coming. I really am.
Oh, yeah.
So. And
we'll be there.
Bring your friends and spread the news. And can I go off on my little sharing, may I?
You can go off on anything you want.
That's my kind of guy. So here Phil is letting me have airtime. I'm Judy.
If you want to call the biggest gang out there a bunch of assholes, cocksuckers, go ahead.
I like that freedom that you give me. That really does rock because I know you mean it and I know that I could do it.
Yep.
I'll put on my all from the heart hat on here for a little bit and just, first of all, thank Phil so much for letting me have this time and thank you to all the listeners out there. We're out here, we're trying to make a difference in veterans' lives. We have now just to date, Sunday we gifted our 74th power wheelchair to a veteran. That was
wow.
Every one of our guys have been unable to get chairs from the VA. Now they're vets, they served, they need power chairs. VA gives them manual push chairs, and it's just not okay. So All From the Heart started a project called Wheels for Warriors. And as I said, to date, we have now gifted 74. And when we give this power chair away without any paperwork, without any money, it's just, you know, I'll Shanghai a guy, you know, I was in the elevator the other day with a vet, and his daughter was pushing him, and he was in, like, the kind that had the big metal bar, like, at the airport. And
right.
She's pushing her dad, and her 9-year-old daughter is pushing the 2-year-old daughter, and I lean down, and I say to the vet, I says, dude, you in this chair much? And he goes, I'm in a chair all the time. I said, well, let's get out of the elevator and we'll talk. So he gets out and I said, will you benefit from a power wheelchair? And he looks at me and he says, you know, lady, I've been trying to get a power wheelchair for 3.5 years. I said, yeah, well, you're done waiting because we're going to get you a chair. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? I said, that's what we do. And my guy, KJ, was over at the dentist getting his teeth cleaned. So he was busy, actually, for about 30 minutes, and so I was by myself with Frank. So me and Frank start visiting, and Frank is a vet from Korea, and I haven't had my hands on a Korean vet in a while. So he's older, man. He is broken. He's got arthritis real bad. He's on dialysis, lives in the desert, and had to travel all the way from the desert to Loma Linda. So
wow.
They all load up in the, you know, caravan. The mom is homeschooling the daughter now just so she can stay home and take care of her dad. If not, dad's going to an old folks home.
Mm-hmm.
And the other sister is done. So KJ had an extra wheelchair in the truck that day. And it was a 3-piece. It comes apart. Anyone can put it. It goes into the trunk. It goes anywhere. You don't need a stabilize, you don't need a rack to carry it. So I called him on their way back out of the, they're leaving the lot, and I call him and I stop him. I say, meet me down in convalescence. So they get unpacked, come and meet me. KJ comes from the dentist and he goes out, runs out to the truck, gets the chair, comes in, pop the vet in the chair. The man is instantly changed right before our eyes. He is a new man. He is sitting taller. KJ gives him a few instructions on how to run it. He is starting to do circles in the, you know, the large rec room we're in where we've got the guys are all playing poker, and like 6 of the guys over there, we've gifted their chairs to them. And he's just one of the gang. So now he and his family are going to come down on Saturday to Old Town Temecula, to
mm-hmm.
Quay, Temecula, Harley-Davidson. We're going to have a big celebration. We're going to honor our veterans in a beautiful way. We have a bike show, tattoo contest. We're going to have a fashion show. We've got a beer and wine license for the day. Lots of really cool vendors.
What is it, a 90-mile bike ride?
It's about a 90-mile bike ride if you want to do the poker run. Gilby Clark, Guns N' Roses, is going to take you on your poker run. And then he's going to come back and he's going to play for us. We've got Creedence Clearwater Revisited. We've got Old School. And then we've got, then Gilby Clark is going to play. And it's a good gig. We're going to shut her down about 5 so you guys can all get out of here before it's dark. But,
and then you got Eric Turner from Warrant, Bobby Blitzer from Rat.
Yes.
You can have a good, it's going to be a good time.
In fact, right now
I have a guy on from New York. We're going to debut his song, so I want you to stick around.
Yes, we'll do.
He's got a new song. I'm not going to steal his thunder. I'll bring him on and then I'll play it and then we'll talk about it. But,
cool.
Yeah, it's a good time. In fact, this is the 3rd annual, and I'm sorry I didn't hear about the first 2, or I would have helped you out with that.
We got you now, Phil, and we're not going to let you go. So
we've been posting that here and there, and we had 38,000 hits today. So
it's a beautiful number.
Yeah. Down a little bit, but there was a lot of things in the news the last couple of weeks that drove everything over the top. But
sure.
Everything with that's got a handle on it, I think, right now. We'll find out.
Right.
But, other than that, I talked to Shadow today. He said he would probably give us a ring in, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm about ready to head down to Old Town now. How late does your show go, Phil?
Till 8.
Well, I'm gonna step away now, and then I'm gonna head to Old Town, and then I'm gonna call you back if I can.
Yeah, you can call me back. You're gonna miss Frank, but that's okay. Well, you can catch Frank on the. Well, no, Frank will be on.
And I can
probably
archive
gonna
him tomorrow.
Yeah, but
so
okay.
We want folks to hit Temecula on Saturday. It's a beautiful ride. Everybody, come on down. We've got our Support Our Troops presentation t-shirts for sale. They're made in the USA, printed in Temecula. They're absolutely gorgeous long sleeve riding tees. On our arms, we've added all gave some gave all. And I just ask that you come out and help us support. We're 100% volunteer driven, and we just want to honor our veterans. That is our passion. That is our heart.
Yeah, Bill's jealous. He's mad because I didn't get him a shirt. I said they only gave me one, though. So
that's
he's going to ask you. Now you can ask. You only gave me one.
I'll look forward to that, Phil. So I'm going to call you back once I get downtown. I need to check on the mom.
Okay. We'll do that.
Thank you, Phil.
All right. We'll see you in a little bit.
Okay.
Frank?
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Is that you, Fran?
Yes, me.
Oh, I thought you were Frank. I'm sorry. That's okay.
No, Frank, Fran, you know what? I'm not shy. I'll answer to anything. You know that. He said,
yeah.
Hey, you, I'll answer. But it's good.
No,
so,
I've got a guy we've been featuring here and there on the show, and he always calls in and supports the show and everything he does. And his name is Frank Palangi. We're going to debut one of his songs tonight, but...
Well, cool.
I'm gonna have him call in here in a little bit, or he can call in and we can do it, and you can listen in. But I'll give you the time. What made you call in tonight, Fran? You got anything bugging you?
Well, let's see. We're out there on the road. What could be bugging me? Other drivers that are discourteous? Oh, that'd be too easy. That would be way too easy. No, just basics, just touching in base. As always, I'm just now tuning in, so you're going to have to catch me up to speed as to what's going on.
Well, okay, yeah, I can do that. I had something I had to do for work Saturday, so when I got done there, I went down to Bill's shop because I heard a noise in my primary after I got gas. So I called up and I talked to Cody, and he said, yeah, come on down, and we talked for a little bit, and then he... threw on a helmet, went for a bike ride and test ride, and
three blocks from the shop, got clipped by a BMW on my bike.
Oh, shit. yeah, that sounds for par.
Yeah, so after the life flight and everything left, then the cops decided they were going to start on me.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that part, you know, it has to be your fault, you know that. You're the biker.
Well, after they asked me for all my information, I gave it to him. He put it in his pocket, and then he said on the radio, he asked if I had any wants or warrants after he gave my name, address, and all that information. And it spoiled his day when I came back clean because I've never been arrested.
Well, they wanted to
look in my saddlebags, and because what happened when the bike went down, I just up with gas, so the tank started leaking. One of the bags landed where the gas was running into the street. So I picked it up and I moved it out of the gas, and they chewed my ass for tampering with a crime scene. And I'm thinking, this isn't a crime scene, it's a car accident.
Not only that, if he read his handbook, he would see that if there is no injuries, one is to move out of the mainstream of traffic. Oh, wait a minute. Did I say have to read the handbook? I'm sorry. I'm assuming that one would have to read.
Right.
But, it would have been interesting if he gave you a ticket for a crime scene. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I would have had to go
just,
to the judge.
Yeah, they just got... This guy had his head up his ass.
Yeah, what... And which ones have you met that didn't?
Yeah, he wanted to show who had the bigger Johnson.
Yeah, well, at least luckily for me, they don't go that route for me. I guess that maybe I'm getting to a point now where I'm a little too old for them to make those indecent proposals.
Fran, are you doing the dishes? Are you doing the dishes?
I'm actually making dinner for John.
Okay.
So I am making dinner for John, and I'm actually home for a change.
Nice.
I do need to get from you at some point. You'll have to call me or whatever. But if I'm going to take the photos at the military camp.
I haven't talked to that person yet, but I plan on it this weekend. And up in, I don't know if you heard the lady that was on before, Judy from All From the Heart. They're going to have a big thing up at Quade Saturday. Bill and I are attending.
Yeah, but I work until 3:30. I wouldn't be able to guess it yet. I know. Can't say that my heart's not there, though.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my heart will always be there. It's just the rest of me can't be. So.
Yeah.
But it was did you see the good win with, what was it? It was 13 bikers up in, I can't even say the name of the town.
Yuba City.
Okay, thank you. You named the city. Yuba City.
Yeah.
And the judge immediately threw it out on the first one. It was like, oh, go, baby. That was so good. That made me feel so good when I saw that.
Now they can actually call that guy your honor.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see. How pissed is that officer going to be now?
Oh, yeah. Especially when he objected and he told him to shut up and threw out his testimony. That was great.
Oh, that is going to be such a hard
place for being an expert. Yeah, so much for being an expert witness.
Well, but you see, we go back to the following of rules and reading what there is. And we're having a small problem with that.
Yeah, well, this guy Saturday, I kind of asked him. He was wearing his helmet the whole time, and I asked him about... how come it's painted, there's no dot sticker, and they drilled a hole in it? Really got him going.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. Oh, that's funny.
You know me. I like to push the envelope sometimes.
Well, I just like to watch and take photos. That's my thing these days. And then, of course, they'll challenge me saying that I can't take photos, but as a journalist.
Yes, you can.
I can. So at that point, no, you can't tell me I can't take photos.
Right.
So I have fun with it whenever I can. And I liked it when I was taking photos at the Abate State meeting 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Because there were officers taking photos of all the bikes that were there. And I was
That's when they were peeking through the grass and or the bushes, right?
Well, they did that too.
Okay.
But, well, someone put in a complaint, you know. There were some dangerous bikers there. So there
I wonder who that was.
I don't know. But the cop thought that he was so swift because what he did, he says, well, I'm going to race these. And what he did one of those sleight of hand tricks. He took the memory card out and then pushed a button and said, see, no pictures, they're all gone. It was like, boy, he must really think that we're stupid. I saw him take the card out of the camera. You know, I mean, really.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you've got a lot of things that are going on. There's a couple things going on in other states that I've been reading. Of course, as good-hearted as all of us are, we go out of our way to protect our military, go out of our way to do toy runs. We go out of our way to do all of these things. And the only thing that sticks in their head is the fact that they go back to when they did that thing up in Southern California. It was the booze fighters in Hollister. You know, they're doing that Hollister thing. It's like, you know what? In fact, the picture of the drunk biker that was on that Hollister bike up in Hollister, the original, wasn't even a biker. He sat on a biker's bike with a bottle and made it look like it was his. It wasn't even a biker. But you know what? People saw that, stereotyped us, and that's who we are.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks.
Hopefully, you were able to find a home for Little Bear.
Yes.
Good. Okay.
And then, and then I'm, well, this Saturday. And then what I'm also going to do is I have the one that you gave me for me, but I'm gonna donate it to these guys Saturday for All From the Heart. It's for what these guys do. Frank, I know you're there. You're unmuted. I'm sorry about this, but we're running a little longer than we thought. So be patient, brother. You're next. Unless you want to join in on anything we're saying. But this is All From the Heart, and what they do is they get wheelchairs for vets because the vets don't get their wheelchairs for up to 9 months to a year. So they give motorized, they refurbish and hand out motorized wheelchairs and then teach them how to use it.
If they want a loaner, I've got a $9,000 one sitting in my living room.
No, they're taking donations, Fran. They're giving them to the vets.
No, that's what I'm saying. But if they need a loaner wheelchair, I'm looking down the pike where I may eventually need it for one I have.
But if they
need an electric wheelchair as a loaner, I do have a wide body.
She's gonna call back in. So if you're still on. I can introduce you guys.
All right. Well, you can always get them in touch with me anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the greatest luck of trying to track me down. You actually do better than most.
Well, that's because I show up.
Well, I do too when I make a commitment.
Yeah.
Unless I make a commitment and said, unless I have to work. And if I have to work, well, then,
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the way life is. Let's see. Paycheck versus the simple pleasures of life these days. So, but sure. Now, is there anything else that is needed? Because
not right now,
else?
But I have Frank Belangi on the phone. He's from upstate New York, and we're going to debut his song.
Wait. When you say upstate New York, how far upstate?
Frank, you want to answer, Fran?
What's going on, guys?
Not much. She wants to know how far upstate New York is.
How far upstate New York is? The Adirondacks.
Oh, you're higher than I was. I lived in Poughkeepsie, New York, honey.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a little bit of a drive from here.
Yeah. Yeah. To you, I'd be downstate.
Yeah, it's more near Lake George, Glens Falls,
that's
Saratoga.
Gorgeous up there. That's
oh yeah,
gorgeous.
Weather's very nice.
Especially right now, especially for riding. Dream
oh,
come
yeah.
true.
My dad rides an on and off dirt bike to work every day. He's had for years, so he drives
really?
It in the snow too. But
oh wow.
He's been into the bikes, and I don't have my my road license, but we go on the trails and stuff, and I used to do it more when I was a kid rather than right now, but it's fun, you know. It's fun
well,
more than driving a car, I can tell you that much.
I don't have a dirt bike license. Of course there isn't one, but I don't have a dirt bike, but my road bike does go into the desert as a crossing guard. It freaks out the dirt bike riders. What are you doing out here with that? And it's like, well, I'm the crossing guard. You have any problems? You have any issues with this? And generally, they don't say a word. Because anyone who's crazy enough to take a street bike out into the desert,
you've got to be crazy. I take a four-wheeler out there.
Nah. That would be too much gas, and that would take away the fun of being out on a bike. Got to be on that bike, hon. The one thing that keeps me sane, keeps me alive, and keeps me from hurting people. So I guess I
yeah, they well they try to keep me from hurting somebody, but I wasn't there for that. I was more worried about Cody and getting them to the hospital. But them guys, when they show up, they always have to spoil everything by being assholes.
Yeah.
But
Although,
the reason Frank called in is we're gonna debut his new video.
I want to hear a song.
So I'm gonna let Frank talk about this one, and then we'll play the song. But I enjoyed it, Frank. It was pretty cool.
Cool, man. Yeah, it was. I have a debut music video out on YouTube, and I just sent it to a whole bunch of companies, and the title of it is called Love, the song, and basically in Albany, New York, there's a school. I know a guy in the film industry, and he actually teaches there now, and he called me up, and he's like, hey, you know, you want to do a music video for, you know, one of your tracks or whatever, and, you know, we'll use the students, and so I was like, yeah, man, and so basically, we came up with this music video off of the EP that I recorded in Nashville. It's out now. It came out August 31st, and I've been pumping it out there and doing, you know, different interviews. And I just got back from Massachusetts, trying out for national acts to see if we can, you know, open for some. And I've always got my hands in the cookie jar, you know.
These people that I'm dealing with, Frank, on this Saturday run, but they do a lot of them over there. And as you heard, we're going to have Gilby Clark's going to be the host, Eric Turner from Warrant, Bobby Blitzer, and a few other bands, and then Creedence Revive.
I know, I'd love to be there for that. Oh, my God. I did get to talk to the bass player to Wasp one time, Johnny Rod, Boy, he's full energy, that guy. Holy shit. But oh my God, that would be that'd be amazing. I mean, what we did in Massachusetts was a chance to open up for like Ace Frehley, Sebastian Bach, Vince Neil, and my background is that 80s metal stuff, so I love Rat, you know, Dokken, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, well, I'll see what I can do about getting you some autographs.
That'd be awesome. So even though I'm 23, right?
Hey, it doesn't matter.
I'm
53, so what?
Yeah.
I'm 60.
You're as young as you feel.
See, good music, still good music.
Exactly. Exactly. So this one here, what I have here is, I was going to ask you too, if you don't mind if I'll post this on the blog for you.
No, go right ahead. I've been telling people, you know, pimp it out, whatever the way they want to.
Well, basically, this is your song, Love, produced and directed and edited by Justin.
Yep, Justin Halstead. He was in the film industry a little bit, came back to the area. He worked on the movie Salt with Angelina Jolie. So he's really good, and I think it's definitely the best work that I've done for a music video, because I do have one other music video, but this one's a little different.
This is pretty good. My daughter's a tough critic in music, and she sat here and listened to the whole thing, and she said she liked it.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, once you listen to the song and you listen to the music video, I had a comment from one of the fans, and they're like, you know, they're more attached to it because they maybe get the story more, or they just, you know, once you get a visual, you know, you just hook people more.
Uh-huh. And then this was all crewed by the students at the new school in Albany?
Yep. The whole production.
Cool. And the music was produced by Roger Masson?
Rogers Masson. That was the Day of Fire producer. They were a Christian rock band. They're also on the track. So we got some good stuff going on with that project.
Uh-huh. And then this was done at the Nashville, Tennessee, at the Soundstage Studio?
Yeah. Yep, right on the corner there. I think Elvis, Johnny Cash recorded there back in the day. And when I went, Rodney Atkins was recording or was mixing out a song. And when I left, Shinedown was flying in to record something. So it was very cool to be thrown into that world, you know, especially I'd never flown anywhere before. It was like the first big leap for me. So I was really like, you know, like if you ever meet like a star and you're just, your eyes, you don't know what to say, you kind of clam up and your eyes just widen up and it's like, okay.
Oh, funny.
Amazing.
Yeah,
amazing,
happened a couple weeks ago to me in Arizona when I was about 1 foot from Sonny Barger at his birthday party. It was a real nice time. We got a comment in here already. Somebody listened to your song, Ray. It said it gave him chills, but she posted it to her wall.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, that's Kat.
Oh, that's
out of
Kitty Cat.
So you got somebody following you in Canada today.
That's, I tell you that most of my sales have been coming from Canada, so that's awesome.
Well, whenever you send me something, and I got a lot of people on my thing from Canada, they always check out what I post, and I got a bunch of feedback on this already that people liked it already. So what we're gonna do? We'll bring it on right now.
Sounds good.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
nice.
That was nice.
That's one of my, it's funny because it was a song I had made up and played for Josh Brown, the singer of Day of Fire, and I'm like, you know, I like this song. I thought he was going to hate it because it was kind of, you know, it's a slow song, and I don't know, I'm just like, he's going to hate it. But he's like, no, dude, he goes, that's awesome. He's like, the melody and the chorus and stuff, he goes, that's going to be a good song. So I kind of went with his advice, taking it through, you know.
What am I looking at?
But I know you have, I don't know if you can play I'm Waiting, but I'm Waiting is more of a hard rock track that is, I guess, maybe the opposite of that, you know, as far as the flow and the feeling goes. I have another track I'm doing in Nashville with a different producer and a different band that's going to be more of a sort of hard rock Creed slash Godsmack type song, but it's coming out really, really good right now, and I can't wait to share it with everybody in probably early 2012.
Sure. Let me I'm bringing it up. I'm waiting right now. I just have
Sounds
to let
good.
It set itself, and then we'll pop that in. But let me – hello, friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of stuff in the background.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Just letting you know. We can hear your conversation there. Tell John, Frank and I say hello.
I'll tell him.
Okay.
John,
I'm going to play another one of Frank's tunes
and
called I'm Waiting.
Said hello to you. A screwdriver. Said hello.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Everybody, who's that?
John knows who it is. He's just,
yeah, I know.
Sometimes he has to holler at John. He has a little trouble hearing. But great guy. Anything you want to know about anything you want to know about biker laws or biker rights and all that, John's your other guy.
He's the guy to go to.
But this right here, friend, this is Frank's song called I'm Waiting. So we're going to pop this one in right now. That one's good too, Frank. I like that one too.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of partial to the first one.
Yeah. Well, he's got another one, Fran. If you're ready for this one, this one's kind of motorcycle related. So let me pop this one in. This one's called Driving These Lines.
Like the first one.
Well, you know, Fran, this is probably the first time you've also heard Frank's music, so it'll grow on you. It grew on me right away.
Well, it's because the first one is sweet, honey.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you probably have to check out Remembrance then, because that's another slow song. I noticed, you know, girls and stuff, they like more the slower stuff, and the guys like the fast rock stuff, you know. So a little bit of both on there.
Well, we could do that, Frank. We could play that right now if you want.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, this song is basically what it is. It's a one take of me playing acoustic guitar and singing live with strings in the background. And the song is what you get, pretty much.
Here we go. This one's called Remembrance by Frank Palangi.
Mm-hmm.
That was a hit, Frank.
Yeah. I know Kitty Cat there liking the stuff. She's like, I'm going to post it on my Facebook or something. And we
yeah.
got Echo.
And then
we've
got Echo tuned in for the first time. She was getting ready to take a bath, but I talked her into checking this out first.
What was I say? If you guys want to, you can check all the songs out on iTunes and Amazon. If you do a search for Frank Palangi EP, you'll definitely find them. They're all, I think you get them, they're studio tracks, but I think you get them in, was it MP3 form when you download
them? Right.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to have to do that because watching my computer screen, it didn't show me your video. So I'm going to have to go to MP3 or whatever to find it.
Oh, you went, did you go on YouTube?
Well, no, but the thing is on my computer with the talk radio, it didn't show a video, just had the standard blog page. So
yeah, it won't do that. You have to type it in your browser to get to it. For some reason, Blog Talk Radio won't let people do that because of sponsorship and people getting permission to use it.
All right. Well,
basically,
if you
went
just
to...
just copy and paste it out of the chat room, friend.
Yeah, you can do that. You can go to youtube.com/Palangi Studios. That's P-A-L-A-N-G-I. And the first video I have up there is the new music video of that, the love song.
Cool. Now I have some excitement tonight.
I know, I when I first seen it, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh my God, I wasn't expecting that. I was just like, because I come from a film background too, and I'm just, I know the difference between different qualities and cameras and the way, you know, stuff is edited, and I watched it, and I'm just like, oh, my God. He did a really good job, that guy.
Frank, I'll share this little tidbit with you. You know that picture of me under the flag on my page?
Yeah. Are you on your motorcycle?
Yeah. Yeah, that Fran was the first woman I had at a parking lot for almost 6 hours, and all I got was pictures.
Yeah.
And on my back.
Yeah. But no, and everybody thinks the flag's upside down, which an upside down flag means send help. It's a distress call. So when I first posted that, everybody was asking me what was wrong and stuff. But the way it looks, the way it's taken, the flag is right. It's just a win.
Yeah. That's what I got out of it when I looked at it.
Until you pointed that out, I didn't even notice it.
Really?
I was more concerned of the motorcycle sitting on the bike.
Uh-huh. You know, the ones you just took a couple weeks ago at Biggs?
Uh-huh.
That's what I sent to the insurance company when the guy told me that the bike was 10 years old, and I didn't have the heart to tell him that it's on its third motor, and this one only has 17,000 miles on it. Sent him them pictures and said, no, it's in pristine condition, and I want it fixed.
Well, hey, that's what we pay insurance for.
Exactly. So what else you got coming up, Frank? Because if Judy gets back to Temecula, she's going to... check on some people, and then she was going to tune back in. So if we get Judy back on, I'll see if we can, at their next event, and see if we can get you out here for that.
Yeah, or something. I can always maybe even just play the music or something before the bands go on. I know I've did that before. Gave
uh-huh.
it to promoters. But yeah,
uh-huh.
that'd be great, something like that. I've never been to California before, but... to be an experience, you know?
Yeah, I take you to all the places your mother warned you about.
Yeah. I bet. But, no, thanks for having me on and, you know, your guys' continued support with my music and stuff here, because I know I've been calling in since probably, what, 6 months ago, maybe a little bit more?
A little, almost the beginning of the year, Frank.
Yeah, pretty much a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's almost a year now. And like I told you, you're welcome anytime. Anything you want to do, you just got out. Check him out, ladies and gents. He's pretty awesome. And she posted that for you on her page.
I mean, what was I going to say? To answer your question before, right now, pretty much, I'm just looking for, you know, I'm looking for a booking agent, just more shows. I'm trying to go more the national route now than local shows. And I think I've told you before, I've got a few licensing deals with some companies like OurStage.com that, you know, license your songs for movies and TV.
Right.
So you never know. Maybe maybe it'll end up in some show or something, or a commercial, or who knows. But,
have you hooked up with RJ Valdez on Facebook yet?
I think you asked that before. I think I'm friends with him, but I haven't really, I don't know if I got a response from him.
Yeah, if you type in there that I told you to get a hold of him, he'll take care of you. I'll give him a call tomorrow. Tell him you're going to hit him up. But, yeah, he can get you some stuff out here. And for that other thing with Nikki Sixx, it's kind of it kind of hit a stone wall right now because there's some stuff going on, they said, but they're going to get back to me.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great. Maybe by the time he does, I'll have that new single done and can hit him with that or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what it's about right here, man. Wherever we can help or I can help, I'll try.
I appreciate it because, you know, I tell a lot of people, you know, I'm doing this all independently, and I can't believe how far I've gotten, but you get to a certain point, and like you said, like you hit roadblocks, and without, you know, somebody else stepping in, like, you know, booking agents or, you know, maybe just some people that have a lot of connections or something that believe in you and your music. You know, to take it to that next level, because like in my song, I'm just waiting. So I'm waiting.
it's just like with this thing now on Saturday. I think we're gonna double their turnout just for a little less than a month of me pounding it for them.
Oh yeah, that's the biker thing with all the bands, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That should be good. I have a good feeling about that for you guys.
And if you remember what she said, they get motorized wheelchairs for the vets because our government's so fucked up that you got to wait 9 months to a year, and then they give them one that they have to turn by hand, and sometimes the guys don't have hands. It's ironic the way they do shit, the VA.
Yeah, my grandfather was a vet. And he went down there, and they treated him pretty good, I thought. But maybe it depends on different states, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird all over, man. It, you know, just between trying to get around with the Blue Gang, it's I can't go a mile in my town without getting pulled over. So I have to change up my schedule all the time, which way I go and stuff.
Yeah, I still can't believe, like, they're that, you know, they're that way there, you know, in California. Because I know here, I don't know, you know, it's definitely probably more accepted here. Because I told you before, we have, you know, everyone from the country comes up here during Americade weekend.
So right.
It's a good thing up here, especially for the businesses.
Yeah, but that's the thing, Frank. They don't care about the businesses. I mean, we made a deal with these guys. Stop, get gas, something to eat, you know, spend a little money, and then go on. And it's like, as soon as they walk into the restaurant, they're parked four or five deep at the table waiting for them to leave. How can you eat like that?
Yeah. Kind of hurry up, get out, skedaddle.
Yeah, and it's up. It's like this guy got pissed off the other day because three weeks ago, they pulled me over, thought I was somebody else, and the guy that did it, he's no longer on a bike. And his fucking guy Saturday, I told him, you're next.
Oh, no.
Hey, I'm telling you, man, my friend was laying on the ground and going into fucking shock, man. We were trying to, and all they were worried about was me.
And what you got.
Yeah, I basically told the guy.
What you don't have.
Exactly. I basically told the guy, do your fucking job, man. You know, and then the ambulance showed up, and we let them take over because he was going into shock.
Yeah.
And then they called for the life flight, and they were going to take him to one hospital, but they were backed up, and luckily they took him to the other one, who has they have a real good surgeon there on duty, and he hooked him up, so he wasn't going to lose his feet there. And basically, it was really bad, man. It put his toes on his shin. That's how he almost ripped his foot off.
Oh.
Yeah. And he was in such shock that he wasn't really bleeding that much because everything, the way we got there and helped out and stuff, it worked out pretty good to where they were able to save him. And it worked out pretty good for him. We're just going to give him a couple more days to clear his head and stuff, and then we'll go see him. We're respecting his dad. His dad's parked there, so we're respecting his dad's wishes right now.
Yeah. A lot of times you can't interfere with the families, you know?
No. Nice kid, though. Real nice kid. Smart, sharp. Got a good head on his shoulders. Very rare. He's always willing to learn. He never gives you his answers on anything. He's always willing to learn. And that to me, that's good because that's where the future is, you know.
Oh yeah.
If we don't teach these kids now, I mean, we're losing rights by the day just with the bullshit going on, huh, Fran?
Oh, yeah. I'm afraid so.
It's like the stuff that's going on in Australia and Canada right now. If it was going on here, man, it'd be a clusterfuck. You talking about they're camping out on Wall Street or whatever. Be nuts.
I have a question of you.
Sure.
If the officer was obstructing the well-being of a human, can he be taken to task for that?
Well, why do you think I told him he was next, friend?
I took that next differently. okay.
Yeah, I
took it differently.
Yeah, and no, but and you know me when I get on a roll.
Yes. And that's kind of the same. I think that's the same reason why you and I get along so well.
I'm waiting for this one. The last one was number 6. This guy's gonna be number 7.
Yeah.
You know, and what really makes them mad is when they lose $832.19 a month for the overtime they get on Saturdays to work on their bike, but they don't have a bike to work on, so they don't get paid that money no more. They have to work to make it up. No, to make it up, I found out. I asked questions, and this is the answer I got. Well, you know, we put them on second shift because most of them have little kids and they have child care and stuff they have to pay for. And I was like, yeah. And you think that $157 ticket they gave me for a non-approved DOT helmet, which there is none in existence, because I've asked you numerous times to tell me with certainty what it is, and I'll go get the fucker. And they can't tell me. So I have no sympathy for those bastards.
Well, I say I'm fighting some other battles too at this point in my other field. So,
mm-hmm.
and it's interesting how everybody wants to be a prima donna, and they don't care if you're going to challenge them because they want you to take them to court because most individuals won't go that far, and they know it.
Right. But I'm not your regular guy.
Too much of a hassle, right? Sometimes.
No, Frank, it's like, it's like this, Frank. 9 out of 10 people are going to receive that ticket in the mail, and they're going to look at it, and they're going to think about, well, I got to take the day off. I got to arrange for child care. I got to, that screws up me going to the grocery store, you know, whatever they're going to do that day. So they sit down and write a check and send it in.
Yeah, it's easier.
Like this right here, a friend mentioned this earlier, but this is a story by Mark Temple. He's a member of Bolt like I am. But this is, can you say your honor in Yuba City? Another not guilty verdict Friday in Yuba City, California, series of helmets tickets written during the August 13th charity run. They even stopped the charity run and pulled these guys over and gave them tickets. That's how fucked up they are. The Yuba City PD wrote over a dozen helmet tickets to riders who were participating in a charity run to help a girl whose father had been killed in a truck accident. The last of the helmet trials we are aware of was the morning October 21st. The district attorney's office sent a DA rep to prosecute first out of all the tickets. Mark Temple was subpoenaed and scheduled to testify as an expert witness. This clearly made the DA nervous as he was pumping us for info before the trial. He didn't get any. The defendant, his name is Rich, was well prepared. The cop brought helmets as evidence to submit, so did we. We didn't even need to use them, though. The cop got 4 words out of his mouth before Rich objected to the cop reading from his notes. The judge agreed and instructed the cop not to read his testimony. The cop finished testifying, and the DA added some legal details about how the defendant's helmet didn't have a Dodge sticker on it. It was time for Rich's cross-examination of the cop. Before Rich could ask a single question, the judge stopped the trial and based a not guilty verdict on Penal Code 1118 out of the California Penal Code and the fact that the DA did not show any law requiring a helmet wearer to keep inside and outside dot sticker on the helmet after he buys it. Consumer info for the point of sale only. So basically, if you buy it, Frank, and you don't like that sticker on the back of your helmet, you can take it off. Because when you purchase it, it's not your property, so you can do whatever you want with it. But these guys don't see it that way.
Yeah.
So basically, it's all about the probable cause. The prosecution forgot to put a case together. Thanks, Your Honor. You can say Your Honor and mean it when you're talking about Judge Chandler. This makes every Yuba City ticket now that we know of either dismissed or not guilty, except one, and that appeal should be easy. The only money you get back is the $25 the guys paid who showed proof of correction. Too bad there's no correction to be made, and this ticket was a Fourth Amendment violation. Money for nothing, maybe to get their chicks for free. The next stop after court was the PD to file the internal affairs complaint. Now Rich is ordering the trial transcript, and he got Clark's docket and minutes of trial. So basically, they got him.
Only the start.
Huh?
It's only the beginning.
Exactly. What scares them most, Frank, out here with us, is we're informed. And there's nothing worse than somebody that knows what they're talking about when you try and talk to these guys and you can watch them hem and haw and bullshit and they can't tell you what they're talking about.
Yeah.
What's going on in Arizona with Bolt and the court case?
No, that's Las Vegas, and they served all the stuff. The last word I got was they're waiting for your trial date.
Okay.
But that involves 40,000 bikers in Las Vegas.
Wow. That's going to hurt.
Yeah. If you go on my blog, Frank, you can read about that. They took Las Vegas PD, Henderson PD, all Las Vegas County. They filed a lawsuit against the police department.
Oh, did they? Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a good thing. Because once they're working on something that they probably see the other end of it, they probably are not going to like it at all.
No. No, because they won't be able to enforce anything.
Well, I did find out one thing about the EPA, where with the EPA, where one of the problems was actually who's going to actually run the motorcycle while they're trying to do the testing. There is equipment out there at the moment that they don't have to do that, where they can actually put a scanner onto the onboard computer that is on all vehicles to get that information.
They're not downloading anything off my computer on my motorcycle without a warrant, I'll tell you that right now. Because they're not going to go in there, they're not going to go in there and jack up that $375 I paid to get my all my stuff and my commander upgraded and uploaded into my bike to make it run better. And these guys hook up and hit a switch, and now I'm back to stock and bullshit, and the bike won't run because of the stuff I put on it? I don't think so. I don't think so. Not without a warrant.
We're going to have to start watching that real close. And actually start pushing buttons.
Yeah. Because I know just like you guys do the meter, and you know, you guys take the meter with you on the first of the month. They told me here they had a meter, but nobody knows how to use it. So that's a good thing right now.
Well, they can, for the sound meter, they have purchased it for training purposes, but not necessarily to pull over bikes for sound. If they get a noise complaint from the neighborhood, then they will go into the neighborhood. And use the meter for that. And if it's over a certain distance noise, then they will use it against whoever it is that's making the noise.
We have, hey, we have Judy. Judy, are you there?
I am.
I have Fran out of San Diego. She's with a Bait 15. No, a Bait 6. And I have Frank Calangi out of New York.
Hi, you guys. Hey, so my phone's going to go dead, but I really want to give away a couple tickets to the help ride.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just putting it out there for however you'd like to gift them the tickets. I will have, you get a name to me, and I'll have two comp tickets waiting for anybody at the gate in Temecula on Saturday morning.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll take care of that for you. And then,
that would be beautiful. That would be really great, Phil.
Okay, and then if you can give me a call tomorrow.
Do it.
Have a good one there.
Thanks for taking me, dear.
You're welcome.
Bye, Phil.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
So what I'm going to do, Frank, when she calls me tomorrow, I'm going to give her your phone number.
My phone number or her phone number?
I'm gonna give her your phone number, and I'll send you her phone number, and we'll see what we can do here.
Yeah, tell her.
They have a lot, right where she's at. They're right out there in wine country.
Tell her she can email me too at my Yahoo. You know, if that's
fast.
Nah,
I'll give
you
that. Just send her an email with your info as soon as I get off the air. But
what
I want to do is I'm going to play Love one more time, Frank, for people that just joined us.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, sounds good.
I appreciate
this,
that.
Yeah, this is a track off Frank's debut EP. And basically, I'll give it to you in a nutshell. This is a story about a couple falling in and out of love, realizing that they couldn't be together forever.
Basically, I always say there's two meanings to a song. There's that meaning, which, you know, goes along more with the music video, but for the meaning for the song for me on personal end, I wrote it after a relationship that didn't end very well. So I think between the artist. No. I think between the artist and the audience, you know, everyone gets their kind of own interpretation of what's going on. But when they see the music video, I think they really realize, you know, oh, okay, you know, they have more of a connection to it. But it's it grew on me more because, I mean, I always liked the song, but I after playing it and stuff out a couple times, I was like, I kind of understand it more because I wrote it with kind of like one feeling with the girlfriend and you know, the relationship going sour. So, you know, naturally it would have that kind of maybe a little bit of a negative effect on me. But I don't have that anymore with it. So that's pretty good.
That's called growing up, Frank.
Yeah. Yeah. Growing up, 23 years old.
That's all right. When you get to be my age, you still won't understand. When I was a kid, my dad gave me a book. It says, everything you want to know about women, you open it up and the pages are blank.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And I still have that book to this day. I gave it to my son a couple years ago. He about laughed his ass off, but didn't realize what I meant when I gave it to him.
You know what should read, right? You open it up, it says, go to volume 2. Meaning like there's some other book.
Exactly.
Do you realize that he could be my grandson?
What?
I look at people your age as...
She says, did you realize that you could be one of her grandsons?
Oh. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Here we go. This is Frank Falangi's debut song off his EP. It's called Love. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be hard to kind of, going to be hard to kind of pop that one every once in a while, Frank. You're going to have to call in or somebody's going to have to request it, because there's a lot of guys that listen to this and some women too, but nah, fuck it. I'll play it anyway. I don't care. If they want to tune in, they tune in.
Yeah, but you know what? That one's going to take off. That song's going to take off. It really is.
I'm glad you like it.
It's a good song.
It's, like I was saying before, it's just hard with, you know, not having a record label or putting out, you know, mainstream material without a label, and you can't reach, you know, certain markets. And I mean, you can say anything on your show, right?
Anything you want, Frank.
You know, basically what bothers me is the last
Let me interrupt you real quick. Let me basically explain this to you. This is the last bastion of freedom. We don't have no seven second delay button or anything. You can say whatever your heart feels, and nobody really gives a shit how you say it.
There you go. Well, I tell you, though, that over the last couple weeks on the music side, you know, I've had some, like, indie record offers. I've had record labels that aren't really record labels. They're more service labels or distributors that you want to put out your music and stuff. And I tell you, all they want to do is grab your money. And, you know, it's like, oh, give me, you know, a couple $1,000s and I'll put, you know, $30,000 or something in your advertising. And even though technically they do have artists that are, you know, a few of them have made it into the Billboard charts or on, you know, different radio stuff. But it's so money hungry, and I just think a lot of it is all scams. They take money in. They do put it out for you, but they don't do any pushes, and they kind of mediocre everything just to use the money. And on the other side, you have the big labels, and I think all their contracts are screwed into the TV stuff and everything that's going on there, and they're not signing like the old days where you can just get a record on the radio because they have all this unsolicited legal stuff. And when something good comes along, I think all they look at is, well, how many shows have you been playing out? Let's see, what are your sales? They don't really look at what's the talent there, what can they do with it, and
they
want to
get a piece of the action. They
want
to get a piece of the action.
This is what I've been told by some producers and stuff that are in the industry. They're like, we can shop you around, but I guarantee you, everyone's just going to say, we're not signing right now. We're not signing right now because they want you, which is impossible, to every artist to have like $500,000 to start their own, you know, business and tour and all that kind of stuff. And the fact is if you're doing it on your own, that's great, but you can't have that leg up that you need without that higher source, you know, pushing for
you. Are you playing the lotto, Frank?
Playing the lotto? Sometimes.
Well, you got to play to win, Frank. That way, you know, best of luck to you, but you got to play to win. And if you do win, then you can call your own shots. But until then, you know, it's like anything else. You got to play the game.
Yep. Well, I intend to. I tell everyone, I'm not backing down. You know, I've been at this for since 2006, and, you know, making the leap in 2010, you know, with the EP and the Nashville stuff, it's something's gonna pop, you know, and it's just gonna click, and then one thing leads to another, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's it. If you don't stick to your guns, you're gonna take one for the team.
Yep. And, you know, I've wasted money through things, and there's been times where they're like, you know, give me this some money, and I'll do this. And whether they did it or not, you know, here's the thing. Do they actually, yeah, sure, they send you a report page, but, you know, is it real? And how do you really find out? So
exactly.
You know, I don't try to deter anybody because, you know, I'm in it, and it's helped me a lot, and I'm very thankful for what's happened. And, you know, just like with that music conference I got accepted into, you know, there'll be industry guys there. I'm sure they'll say stuff. I'm sure they have all their own opinions. But like my producer says, it comes down to the one person believing in your music, recognizing who you are, not that you're just some, you know, throwaway whatever or a mock-up pop star thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're not a Justin Bieber.
No, I'm not someone who can be boxed in. I mean, I'm very, very creative, but, you know, I'm not overbearing and stuff because I realize what's going on. And like you said, when you're talking to some of the people, you know, that pull you over and stuff, you have more info and they think that you don't. You know, it's the same thing with them. They think you're stupid.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Well, it's like
this,
Frank. You know, Frank can tell you, anybody that knows me can tell you, but on the right side of my bike, on top of the saddlebag, I retired the one-pounder. We're now sporting a three-pounder. But the other day, I got asked what that was for. And I explained it to the guy. He's like, yeah, right. And he goes, that might be a felony. I go, unless you're going to change my name to Trooper, it's not, and I can carry it. And I quoted him the penal code and everything, and he about shit a brick. But we have a caller, Teresa, from Michigan. Hello, Teresa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you? We have Frank Palangi out of Andorax, New York, and Franz on from San Diego. And then we have people listening from Canada, Oregon, basically all over the United States again.
Oh, that's
going
cool.
on there, Teresa.
How are you doing, Frank?
Pretty good. I seen you on the chat board there.
Yeah. Well, I'm a writer, so basically we're in the same boat, different oar. You have to believe in your work. And the fact that the Internet is so available, you can get your work out there and do an end run around the whole industry because there are opportunities for you. A friend of mine, when she was just out of high school, she was signed with a label, and she was very young, and it blew up real fast. But one of the things that she learned is being signed to a label isn't a guarantee for success because they take so much money. She's getting, her name is Therese Campanelli, and she's, after a decade of being out of it, she is going back, and she is producing herself, and she is doing it herself. She is not looking for a label. She does have a producer, but you can do it on your own. When both of my novels are I publish them myself, print on demand. The technology is there that you can do it yourself. She was looking into there's the equipment available that for like anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500, where you can it will reproduce 100 discs at a time.
Yep.
And she's going to be doing that, and you know, working, doing it for others, and it will help pay for her career. So, no, it can be done. And you don't have to go traditional anymore. YouTube.
No, if you go traditional, you can be left out hanging in the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's all this new. You know, I do it all the time. You got to think the new digital way. You know,
right.
But they're, you know, the CDs and stuff are around. I tell you, all these radio stations, they still want CDs. A lot of places,
right,
they want the CDs. So, but the people, you know, like you said, they can just, you throw a link down, they hop out, they can check you that second if they like it.
Right.
You know, they get it from iTunes or whatever.
Right.
I do know a few bands that are independent that are making it, but on the other hand, either they have a job in the business or, like you said, maybe they were signed to a major label and they're not anymore.
Right.
But they can sustain their own career.
Right.
Yep.
Therese, she has an outside job, and so she is, you know, slowly building. She tried getting the startup funds. There's a place where people can, like, donate money, and you give them gifties. And since she doesn't have any of her old music anymore, yeah, it didn't do too well. But, one woman who, she wasn't a band before, and she actually had music that people could listen to. She did fairly well, and it's called the Kickstarter program.
Yep.
Kickstarter.com.
Yep.
I tried to get money for my film there, and it didn't fly. So I guess it's a lot of really hit and miss with the program.
Yeah, I tried it with trying to get funding to fund more songs for my complete album, and unless
mm-hmm.
you make your quota of whatever it is, they don't give it to you. So I guess sometimes
right.
it's better to keep it low.
Right. So, no, I am in the process of producing my first feature film. I've got a $7 million loan waiting for me in Dubai, and I am trying to get the pre-sale so I can go over and get the real money. And the
mm-hmm.
people in this country are really stupid. You know, the stock market is bouncing all over the place, and they're willing to risk their money on that, and they won't help people that will actually get them somewhere.
Be
so.
Creative, yeah. Well,
yeah.
I tell you, if you need any music for your projects, shoot me an email or hook up on Facebook. I'll do something for you.
Okay. I've got a music director. I've nearly got my entire team. The production budget is 7.6. I've got wonderful stars. I've got a wonderful director, and our BJ Rack is our line producer UPM, but we do have a music director who has done fabulous music, and we've got a couple of people who are writing independent pieces. I still need a love song.
You got it. Frank's got it right there for you. Did you get a chance to hear it?
I got a couple of them.
Teresa, did you get a chance to hear it?
No, I didn't get a chance to hear it. It was the.
You know what? We'll pop that in for you right now. Since
okay.
Yeah, this is Frank Falangi's music video. It's called Love. Well, Teresa, what do you think of that one?
It was pretty good. It was a little hard to hear. I'll watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, sometimes this doesn't do it justice, but it's pretty good.
Frank, I just sent you a friendship request on Facebook.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, well, we can talk more about it. And like I said, I just wrote like a new couples/love type song that maybe would be good for it, you know, especially, you know, if you guys have a budget or something. I can always think of something. I have producers in Nashville that can come up with some very, very good quality, you know, music, the stuff you heard here and even better. So,
Well, we've got our music director. He has done a lot of really, he's done a lot of really good work. And so he's going to be actually putting the music on as well. And it's with a full orchestra. So,
oh, okay.
We're trying to give this up. The budget is $7.6 million, but we're trying to give it a bigger budget field. Everybody who's read it loves it. And after that's the military series, and after that's the Western, and after that it's the
motorcycle. She's a really good writer. I've got copies of her stuff. She's a really good writer.
Okay.
I wish that the people that I gave things to, instead of giving me the lip service, would have contacted her. But I'm going to still push for them. I'll see those guys in about 3 weeks.
Yeah. We've got a loan, $7 million loan, waiting for us in Dubai. And do we just need the money to go get it? Which is really frustrating. And we're about to lose our season and our talent because people would rather stay with the status quo than, take a leap of faith with someone who has actually passion for the industry. I am good old-fashioned entertainment, and this is something that hasn't been done in a long time because it's not based on sex violence or special effects. It's about people, and that's what I write about. And there is a void. And, the old-fashioned entertainment where the family could go together and there's something for everybody. So.
I want to share something with you guys. I don't know if you know, but DirecTV is going to take Fox off their satellite program. And
are they?
Yeah. And basically what they're going to do is, this is from Kurt Sutter, but basically this is how he's dealing with it. He just did a promo that will air before Tuesday night's episode. Its aim is to mobilize fans against DirecTV, but they refused to let me speak honestly. I had to follow an FX legal script that felt like complete bullshit. I'm sure it will serve its purpose, but I feel compelled to let the Sons of Anarchy fans know what I wanted to say. First off, I am well aware that I am working for the right-handed smoking man. Truth is, every large entertainment company is an extension of some corporate behemoth. FX is no exception. The thing that keeps me there is that they care as much about the creative process as they do their... Okay, here we go. Let's see. Their creative process as they do their bottom line. It's not only rare, it's pretty non-existent everywhere else in Hollywood. That bubble is floated by John Langdorf. If it wasn't for that guy, I'd be selling star maps and hand jobs in front of the motherlode. I also have no delusions that Fox has a big horse in this DVT race. Like all big corporate deals, the Goliaths are fighting for bigger chunks of the pie, and in process, the Davids who feed off the crumbs are getting screwed. But if you look at the facts, you'll see that DirecTV is applying orange rules to whatever appling world and using their large customer base as leverage, basically fucking over the customer. Already paid a lot of money for their service. So here's the script they wouldn't let me use.
He says, "Hi, I'm Kurt Sutter, the creator of Sons of Anarchy. Starting November 1st, DirecTV is pulling FX from your box. That means you missed the last five episodes of the show, perhaps five of the most critical episodes of the series. I know Fox has a big horse in this race, but they're trying to negotiate in good faith. DirecTV is shutting down all conversation and using their customers as leverage. In the process, now his customer base is almost 5,000 or 5 million people a week. You're getting fucked over. They're running ads with their corporate shell telling you how much they care about your business. That dude's got one sincere hand in his heart while the other greases your unsuspecting backside. Because they're all about to flip over and fuck you up the ass till you bleed. So go to keepmynuts.com or call." I'm going to put this in the chat room. But it's...
Well, the thing of it is, the networks, NBC used to be the premier. They used to do the very best programming. But they've gone cheap and chintzy. They don't, you know, the reality shows that have nothing to do with reality. And, you know, they promote bad behavior. Sons of Anarchy is well written. It's a scripted show. It's, you know, their cast and crew are aces. But the fact that it promotes independence, that's the problem. And, you know, NBC used to be the best. And now I call it the no-brain content network.
Mm-hmm.
Because, they go cheap and chintzy. CBS is better. They do more scripted shows that are for the whole family. But even now, they are still starting to dial back the budget. They're going for the cheaper shows again, and that's why people are looking elsewhere. I used to be a couch potato, and I throw in more DVDs, and I've got no problems with turning it off because there's nothing there for me to watch. And I used to, go to the movies a couple times a week, and I haven't been to the theater since Indiana Jones came out, the last one, because there's nothing I want to watch.
Expensive, too.
It's very expensive. And
yeah,
a lot of that's
because
the theaters have had to buy this, this very expensive equipment.
I have someone in my, somebody I know who works in one of the movie theaters business, and they say that if the concessions, nobody bought concessions, the whole movie business would
uh-huh.
go under.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
I
got a thing of popcorn, two sodas, and a box of hot tamales for $12.
You got off light. You got off light. No.
It might have been the way I looked at it.
Yeah. What keeps the theaters open is the concession stand, because most of the box office goes straight to the producers. Actually,
yep.
The distributor gets about 25% to 30%, and the rest goes to the producers. But the people who actually, the writers are the last to be paid and the least respected. They're the first. They're the ones that come up with all the ideas and the good projects, but they're the last to be paid.
How do you figure that?
Actors as well, and the talented people are the least respected when the creative people control the industry. You got new movies, and they were willing to take a risk. Now that the bean counters and the pencil heads are controlling things, you're getting remakes and remakes and sequels on top of sequels. They think, it worked once. It'll work a dozen times, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know.
I
heard they came out with something about Footloose, and I heard it was number 3 last week.
If people are dumb enough to go see the remakes, they deserve what they get. Because when people stop going, they'll have no choice but to look for a reason why.
Well, about 2 weeks after something comes out, if I want to see it,
I just make a phone call and I pick up the DVDs a couple days later.
Mhm. But the thing of it is, by doing, if it's pirated, you're actually it's being counterproductive, because you're hurting people like me.
Did I just say that? I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah.
I don't mean to make light of that, but yeah, you're right. You're right. But
I'm old fashioned where I buy the DVDs. I don't even know how to get movies or music for free off the internet.
Yeah.
So my hard copy of the film.
Yeah. There is one movie that I dearly want. It's called Texas Across the River. It's an old Dean Martin movie. I had a chance to get it on a pirated copy, and I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. No matter how much I wanted it, I would not do it.
I remember that movie. You get shot in the ass.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it's a wonderful movie, but it's not out. It's not out. And, you know, the people who put their heart and their soul and their blood and tears in it are the people who should be making the money. I'm an independent executive producer. I've been looking around the world for money. And it's not
when you find it and you've got extra, let me know, will you?
I've got 7 million waiting for me in Dubai.
Well, I tell you, it's the same thing in the music industry, right? You sign a record deal, most record deals that are going on right now, you make 5% of, like, the profits, right? And you don't even own the masters to your song. So it's like...
Right.
exactly.
But.
And the people who are actually doing the work get the least amount out of it.
Yep.
And
yep.
It shouldn't be that way. There is a big push for one of the studios bought the right to Billy Jack. And they are going to be trying to remake Billy Jack.
Yeah, I heard that.
They did it perfect the first time. There is only one Billy Jack, and his name is Tom Laughlin.
Yeah.
Nobody could do it better. Johnny Depp is going to be remaking Dark Shadows. There is only one Barnabas Collins, and that's Jonathan Frid.
Yeah. Used to watch
I think
that
if they
lunch.
Do it, I was going to say, if I think they do it, not to copy the original, but if they do it in an entirely different way,
right?
I personally do like that because it's not the same. But if they go and they did what they did with like Psycho, where it's the same exact movie with the same exact basically acting, I don't think it's worth it to
the
remake.
The Star Trek worked because when they redid the films, they had the original cast. And they went forward. They did not do a remake of this TV series. Yeah, the actors were older, and they played to that, and they were wonderful. And then when the new generation came over, started up. They didn't try to do the original. They took the concept and moved forward, and that's why it worked. They just did a prequel to Star Trek, which I will not watch. There is only one James T. Kirk, and he was played by William Shatner. He wasn't in the movie, so why would I want to watch it?
Spock was. But
they gave Leonard Nimoy a token role. Big hairy deal. He's an amazing actor, but big hairy deal.
Well, certain things, even with... they're rebooting Texas Chainsaw Massacre again. And, you know, they remade that series. And it's supposed to be a sequel to the original 74 film. But it's also a reboot type thing. And,
the guy who plays Leatherface is a good friend of mine.
Gunnar Hansen?
No, the other guy.
What's the new guy? I forgot his name. What's his name? Do you know? I used to know every single thing about every horror movie, but Ooh, rusty.
The best horror movie that I've ever seen was a traditional ghost story called The Changeling by George C. Scott. It, you know, no special, you know, very few special effects, no sex, no violence, no bad language. It was just scary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like slashers. I like suspense.
Uh-huh.
I
you
like
know,
everything.
I'm going to, I got Frank's song, Remembrance, queued up here. I'm going to play that one for you, Teresa.
Okay.
I got to head out, too, in a few minutes, man. But I appreciate you having me on here.
Oh, anytime, Frank. You know you're welcome. After this, I was going to close it out, but I wanted Teresa to hear this.
Okay.
Okay.
Nice to meet you, Frank.
Nice to meet you. I'll talk to you on Facebook.
Okay, great.
Remembrance. Thank you guys for all tuning in. You're all welcome to come back on Thursday.
Okay, I'll talk to you later, Phil. Bye bye.
Okay, I'm going to send you that email right now.
Okay, thanks.
You're going to send
me
an email.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
Oh, hey, you're great.
Thanks.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
When you get a chance, send me an email of what's up and a link to his music so I can put it on my Facebook as well.
Okay.
And I'm going to say goodnight, darling.
Friend of mine, Facebook.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, too. If you go to, if you just search my name, Frank Polangi, I have two different ones. But thanks for having me, guys. And you can look up the tunes on iTunes or Amazon. And I will talk to you guys really soon. Give you some updated news.
All right, Frank, thanks
here.
For tuning in.
All right, thanks, man.
All right.
Have a good night.
You too.
God,
all right, friend, I'll hook you up with that.
Good night, darling.
All right, good night.
vibe of the city is homey, it is welcoming, it is business-focused, a vibrant city that has lots to offer. I can't describe how beautiful it is. Lindsay Lohan, sexy new pig. Hey guys, I'm asking for you now. As she struggles to get her career back on track, Lila's taking a turn of working for Hugh Hefner, posing as a Thank you.